The Napoleonic Era. Napoleon in Exile. Napoleon and Captain Maitland. Napoleon's arrival on the Bellerophon. The moment that Napoleon and his entourage boarded the HMS Bellerophon, they were alert to any indications of their future treatment. Hopefully, it would foreshadow their reception in England. From the beginning, the signs appeared to be very promising. True, when coming aboard, Napoleon had not been received with manned yards and given a salute, which were the usual honors accorded to persons of high rank. But other measures had been taken by the captain to ensure Napoleon's comfort and defer to his dignity. First of all, the whole after cabin, which had been Captain Maitland's, was given to Napoleon to use. Maitland simply moved into a cot in the wardroom. Second, the anteroom served as a dining room as well as a waiting room for those attending on Napoleon. Third, the anterooms to the left and the right, two small cabins, had been constructed. One served as Napoleon's dressing room, the other as a sleeping room for his valet. Fourth, at the anteroom entrance, two guards of honor were placed. Fifth, the deck between the main mast and the mizzen mast had been covered with a tent, and that was for the comfort of the ladies in Napoleon's entourage. Sixth, the gun ports were netted over to prevent the children that were part of the entourage as well from falling overboard. This consideration for their well-being that these preparations revealed fostered optimism amongst Napoleon's entourage. Royal prerogatives were accorded Napoleon without his insisting on them. For example, when he appeared on deck, the men in his vicinity removed their hats. Then, whenever spoken to, he was addressed as Sire. After only a few hours, it was apparent that within reason, whatever Napoleon requested would certainly be his. Never hesitant to impress people who could further his purposes, Napoleon immediately set out to ingratiate himself. Few people have ever shown such a great talent for this other than Napoleon. His method was simple but effective. His manner, he would use his manner, his questions. He displayed an intense interest in the other person, and he then drew them to talk about themselves as well as their life. Napoleon knew his standing and knew few men could ignore the attention he paid them. Within minutes after boarding the HMS Bellerophon, Napoleon had Captain Maitland talking about his wife, his children, England, and the service that he had seen. Napoleon spoke with each of the ship's officers, whom he asked to meet, and while Maitland led him on a tour of the ship, Napoleon asked numerous questions and commented favorably on English ships and seamen. Afterward, at breakfast, Napoleon inquired about English customs. Quote, "I must now learn to conform myself to them," end of quote, "as I shall probably pass the remainder of my life in England." If only that were true. Ever since Napoleon had come on board, Admiral Hotham's flagship had been approaching steadily. As she drew closer, Napoleon showed some signs of uneasiness. He asked two or three times how soon the HMS Superb would anchor. He was also anxious to discover if Hotham would approve of Captain Maitland receiving him, and voiced strong desire to see Admiral Hotham. Of course, there's one other person on board the ship that's even more anxious, and that, of course, is Captain Maitland. I mean, the past few days forced Captain Maitland to assume an initiative that he had not been specifically granted. I mean, he was, you know, in a very unusual position. He wasn't certain that the actions that he took would actually win approval. And as soon as the HMS Superb had dropped anchor, which was at 10:30 a.m., Captain Maitland immediately went on board. Now, once on board, Admiral Hotham assured Maitland, quote, "Getting hold of Napoleon on any terms would have been of the greatest consequence. But as you have entered into no conditions whatever, there cannot be a doubt that you will obtain the approbation of His Majesty's government." End of quote. He agreed to accord the HMS Bellerophon the honor of carrying Napoleon to England. And in response to Napoleon's request to see him, the admiral said that he would be pleased to wait and visit Napoleon that afternoon. So far, so good. The treatment was certainly better than anything the French government or the Prussians or the Austrians would certainly have meted out. And of course, it is interesting. I mean, Maitland had spent a lot of time getting this all prepped out, and he was concerned that actually that Admiral Haddam would just say, "Well, this is I can't let this go. We're going to move Napoleon over to my ship, and I will take him back to England." And Haddam had decided to go ahead and let Maitland do that, which is pretty magnanimous of him, actually. It certainly would be easy for the admiral to put himself in that position. But he was aware of, first of all, Maitland is, as I've talked about before in other podcasts, was a superb captain and had great recognition within the Royal Navy. So this just wasn't a captain at sea. This was a man commanding a venerable ship with an incredible crew and probably deserved what he was in the process of doing. And of course, by this time, he'd actually gotten a little closer to Napoleon, as did the men of his crew on his ship. So it's going to be interesting to see how this continues to play out. But certainly, everything you could possibly do to take care of Napoleon and his entourage was being done. Now, the sources for this are the 50 Days of Napoleon in England by Duhamel, Napoleon After Waterloo by Thornton, and Napoleon St. Helena by Gilbert Martineau. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, the new website, historyaccordingtobob.com or summahistorica.com, and check out the CDs, check out the souvenirs, all the other material there, the blog, what have you. And if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. It's a new year, and we have to start filling the coffers again. Thank you very much.